Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Essence Magazine February 2018 edition. So let's just pick up from where we left off from last week. As a recap, on the cover of this Essence magazine, we have Oprah Winfrey, Ava DuVernay, and Storm. And they're going to be talking about Wrinkle in Time, which is a new movie that hits theaters, I believe, in March. So let's go back to the Money and Power edition. And this is where we, where Essence takes it to the next level, where five business coaches weigh in with 10 game-changing career tips, which can complement or implement now. When it's time to move up in your career, many experts and mentors suggest enlisting a business coach to help you push past blind spots and notions that can keep you from being your best self. And for good reason, outside counsel can assist in strategically navigating your road to success, whether it's climbing the corporate ladder or striking out on your own. It all starts with knowing your worth. You have a set of phenomenal traits that make up who you are authentically, says Lauren Champagne Burnet, founder of The Right Coaching. She spent 10 plus years working with startup creators. You can harness those good things in you to produce any result you desire. If you can focus more on what is fantastic about you and less on the things that hold you back, you will be able to access a level of peace and power that may feel inaccessible right now. While that may seem easier said than done, Essence has asked five coaches what's worked for their clients. So get ready to put back the advice into practice and see big payoffs. Let's get started. The first one I actually covered last week, which I'll, briefly go over again. And that first one is called Ditch the 5-Year Plan. So instead, figure out what you're really trying to achieve beyond just the title. Oftentimes, people aren't chasing a job as much as they're chasing a feeling, says Paulina Reed, co-founder of New Girl on the Block, a mentorship program and consultancy for female entrepreneurs. So based on what that feeling is, you can reverse engineer it. What kind of funding or resources do you require? Should you grow your list of mentors or do more informational interviews? Homing in on the feeling you're seeking will make it easier for you to reach your potential, and you'll be more satisfied when you get there. Number two, stop treating networking like a transaction. A lot of people go into networking events like Hunter says, Reed. They're trying to close the deal. They're trying to make the big pitch. What about just saying, hi, how are you? Don't treat people like an ATM. Get to know their interests, what they love, what they hate. Ask yourself, how do I nurture this relationship? How do I turn this stranger into a genuine friend? Don't try to close the deal right away. I teach my clients to play the long game. Plant the seeds today for a relationship that you'll still have years from now. Number three, limit your backup strategy. For Brené, the number one question people come to her with is, what's next? She says, that's what they say the question is. But what they mean is, how can I most effectively align my career with who I am? First, narrow your consideration set. I find that many people have ruled out the possibility of the thing they really want before. They've even articulated what that is. Say you want an A. Most of the time when I ask people, will you tell me what's next? They respond with A, B, C, D, and F. It's a laundry list. And having such a wide consideration set, they've set themselves up not to get what they want. But Bernie isn't saying you shouldn't have a plan B. It's just to be something you could see yourself doing as well. If you have a backup because you don't think you can get the thing you want, you're taking power out of the pursuit before you even get started. Number four, imagine your perfect day. Most people look at things that aren't working, says Courtney A. Seard, who has spent more than 15 years consulting with and coaching corporate execs and professional athletes. It's all about what they don't want and don't have. Seard says the way to concentrate on the positive stuff is to start each morning by imagining your ideal day. When you wake up, write in a journal as if it were the end of the day and chronicle all the amazing things that happen. It could be something like this. I had a meeting and it went the way I wanted it to. I navigated a tough client and we had some ups and downs, but we ended up seeing eye to eye and everything is working well. Traffic was a mess, but I was able to get an audiobook and sit through it effortlessly, she says. Focus on what you want before you get what you focus on, she says. And then finally, number five, prioritize your well-being. There will always be more work to do, so quit thinking, I just need to get this done and then I can rest. Brené tries to get clients who fixate on their output to understand that they can accomplish more at work through practicing self-care. So how can you do that when you feel as if you don't have the time? I think about someone you love a lot. Maybe it's a child, a sibling, your mother, she says. Then ask yourself, would I want that person to take care of herself? If so, and you're not doing it, ask yourself why not. You'll quickly see you're just as deserving of the nurturing you'd want for others. Now go make time for it. Okay, number six on the list is be the CEO of you. You're the head honcho of your career, says Courtney Sanders, founder of Thick and Grow Chick, which helps women reach their personal and professional objectives. Keep this in mind if you've hit the 6-year slump at work. I see this all the time. You're moving into your 6th year at work and are starting to think, man, when I was younger, I thought I wanted this role or that position. But now that I'm here, it's not all that interesting or fulfilling. And part of the feeling is the misplaced expectation that companies will provide the experiences you're looking for on a silver platter. That simply won't happen. So take ownership of your professional advancement. The longer you've been at your job, the easier it is to lose sight of what originally brought you joy. But you're not as stuck as you might think, Sanders says. I always recommend that my clients take on extra curriculums, like helping with a one-off project in different divisions in their company to create the experience they want. Number seven, don't let a layoff define you. It's hard not to take a pink slip, personally. But once you give yourself a few days to let your emotions settle, Brené says you have to separate what really happened from how you've interpreted the situation. It's easy to collapse things that are undeniably true with the feelings that we have about those truths, she says. Find someone you trust who can help you identify what the facts are. Then ask yourself, what am I making these facts mean? The reason people can't move past the low point is because they unintentionally decide that the layoff means something about who they are, and that's almost never true. Number eight, ask for what you want. It's Seard's number one piece of advice for her female clients. Just ask. You are responsible for your success, she says. You need to find out what you want and determine how you're going to get it. Ask a mentor. Ask for help. Women don't ask and are often looking for other people to define their world. If you see someone out there you want to be like, call them or investigate what they did and model it. This has worked for all my clients. Number 9, add value outside of your job description. Sanders says one secret to rising through the corporate ranks is to think like the leaders. It's the biggest gap I see a lot of women in the workplace missing, she says. They're not understanding how the decision makers are thinking about the business as a whole. So if you network by doing those coffee breaks and going out to lunch with higher ups from different departments, you get to hear what they consider is important and where the organization is going. After lunch, you can go back to work and make sure that you're keeping an eye out for the ways that you can contribute to the business's bottom line. People who have demonstrated an ability to produce visible results in a way that helps a company get to where it's going are promoted faster. They're more valued and they tend to get laid off less. And then finally, number 10 on the list is remember that going into business for yourself is not everyone's cup of tea. As much as entrepreneurship has become this glamorized kind of one-size-fits-all body-con dress, it's not, says Kiki Lola Adusana, who established the business and personal development firm My Boss Is Me. While entrepreneurship is a gift that, if explored, can change the trajectory of a woman's life, it's not for everyone. And the only way to determine that is to try it. I believe that entrepreneurship is one of the best personal development experiences a woman can have because there's so much that you realize about yourself. I believe you can be a boss in any area of your life. A boss is somebody who is decisive, and a boss is somebody who knows what they want. Even if you return to a 9-to-5 job, you'll almost always feel more satisfied with where you are. By eliminating the what ifs, you can make a plan that's more aligned with who you are truly. This was a good article that I can actually, you know, relate to, or get information from myself. So good points there. So let's move on to next thing up is issues. Voices of the New America. Stacey Abrams, never mind the possibility of becoming the nation's first black woman governor, the Georgia gubernatorial candidate aims to eliminate poverty, protect voting rights, and implement changes with the kind of impact Georgians can feel. As far as her resume, the 44-year-old author and former tax attorney knows the ins and outs of business. Not only has Abrams been the executive of companies, but she's also launched them. I've signed the front and back of a paycheck. She says, I create jobs. I've helped other companies retain the jobs they've created. I've helped more capital. I've helped move capital. I'm an effective legislative leader. As far as her purpose is, my purpose, well, quote, my purpose is to eradicate poverty in all the spaces and all the forms where I can say this, and it means sincerely. I am offended by it. It is mean. It is unnecessary, and it is siphons away so much human capital. It lies on the soul, and it should not exist. End quote. And as far as her heritage, quote, I grew up in southern Mississippi in Gulfport. I was born in Wisconsin while my mom was in grad school getting her master's in library science. And she and my dad moved back to Mississippi when I was 3. So all I remember about Wisconsin is being cold, end quote. And then some of the quotes that they have listed here, that quotes that I'm assuming that she actually said. So first quote is, we have to believe in our power to pick our own leaders. We have the capacity to get it done. And another quote of hers is, I am authentically and unapologetically, unapologetically a Democrat. I am not going to water down my principles or pretend to be Republican light. I want people to vote for me because of who I am and what I believe. And then her final quote is, Johnetta Cole at Spelman College was the first person to encourage me to run for office. She told me to run for student government because she was tired of me complaining. So let's move on to another article. STEM's New Guard is the title of this next article. STEM's New Guard, 15 women who are paving the way and paying it forward. After Hidden Figures hit movie theaters in late 2016, conversations about the real-life black women featured in the Oscar-nominated film bubbled over. Yet we question why it took so long for the story of the STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, and math, slayers to make it to the big screen. There is a significant underrepresentation, says Nicole M. Joseph, PhD, an assistant professor at Vanderbilt University in Nashville and the author of the upcoming book, Mathemizing Feminism, Black Girls and the Woman's Experiences in the P20 Mathematics Pipelines. We need to disrupt our own negative experiences that we had in school about mathematics. We need to tell our girls that they can do math. In many cases, STEM culture is to blame. A 2017 study from the Journal of Geophysical Research revealed that women of color, astronomers, face harassment more than any other group. Despite seemingly insurmountable odds, the 15 trailblazers on these pages have remained unmoved. Whether they formed organizations to shed light on diversity within STEM or mentored young STEM hopefuls, they've not only held rank in their careers, but they've also paid it forward. Such as Kimberly Bryant. She's a technologist. When Bryant launched Black Girls Code in 2011, little did she know that her movement would go global. The organization's objective is twofold: to empower girls ages 7 to 17 to explore the world of tech and to let the world know that, well, Black Girls Code 2. Bryant aims to train 1 million by 2040. We need disrupt our own experiences or negative experiences that we had in school about mathematics. We need to tell our girls that they can do math. End quote from Nicole M. Joseph. Candace Chemist. In 2016, Bridge secured a $324,000 grant from the National Institute of Justice in an effort to further improve techniques for investigating rape. The Kim superstar is one of the first people to earn a forensic PhD in the United States. She's also the first black woman to teach chemistry at both Howard University and the University of Central Florida. Trina Livingston Arenza, she's a biomedical engineer. Arenza made her foray into science and medicine, having been encouraged by a high school teacher to explore the subjects. She holds a PhD in bioengineering from the University of Pennsylvania and has been lauded for her pioneering endeavors in stem cell research. In 2003, she successfully demonstrated how donor stem cells could be transplanted from one cell to another. Arenza is a professor of biomedical engineering at the New Jersey Institute of Technology. Hadia Nicole Green, she's a physicist. After Green lost her aunt and uncle to cancer when she was young, fighting the disease became her life's work. In 2015, she was awarded a $1.1 million grant to develop a cancer treatment using lasers and nanoparticles. It's said to eliminate the devastating side effects of associated with such cancer treatments as radiation and chemotherapy. And then we have Jadea at C. Isler. She's an astrophysicist. While most of us are caught up in mundane daily activities, Isler is studying blazars, hyperactive black holes that live at the center of most galaxies. When she's not observing the universe, she's giving inspirational TED Talks. And through her organization, #VanguardSTEM, advocating to make STEM more accessible for traditionally marginalized folks. Next up, we have April Erickson. She's aerospace engineer, perhaps one of the most famous women working for NASA today. Erickson is a Howard University graduate and the first African-American woman to earn a PhD in mechanical engineering from the HBCU. To date, she's managed spacecraft missions and has been published in a number of journals. Ashanti Johnson, she's a chemist. Johnson makes it her business to know what's going on in our oceans and rivers and on our beaches. She analyzes how past major environmental events, think oil spills and nuclear waste, have impacted our coast and, of course, our lives. Johnson received her bachelor's degree and doctorate in chemical oceanography from Texas A&M. Aletha Maybank, she's a physician. This highly respected practitioner has a unique approach to how we think about our health as a community. Her areas of concentration are preventive medicine, public health, and health inequities. She's also launched a campaign to bring the faces of real-life African-American doctors to Doc McStuffins, a popular animated series for children on the Disney Channel. Tanya Moore, she's a mathematician. For Moore, mathematics isn't simply crunching numbers and looking at confusing data. Throughout her career, she's leveraged her expertise in biostatistics to address matters specifically affecting communities of color. Moore has been an instrumental leader in the citywide 2020 Vision Project, which aims to close the achievement gap among Black and Latino students in her hometown of Berkeley, California. Marina Robinson Snowden. She's a nuclear engineer. Snowden is currently wrapping up a one-year fellowship at the National Nuclear Security Administration in Washington, D.C. Much of her work focuses on arms control agreements and nuclear warhead monitoring. She also collaborates with policy makers on top secret projects. That's whose earliest self-professed memory, or her earliest self-professed memory of science and math was fear. Lizette Tittry Montgomery. She's a video game developer. Tittry Montgomery has put her creative touch on some of the highest profile products in the business, including video games like Tiger Woods Golf, The Simpsons, and South Park. She's also a fierce fighter for diversity within the gaming industry. She's been recognized for both her skills and advocacy throughout tech. Dina Pirot. She's a technology mentor. In 2011, Pirot founded iUrban Teen, an arts education program for young adults of color. It offers them mentoring services and prepares them for college. In 2013, Pirot was honored as a White House Champion of Change for her efforts with iUrban Teen, which at the time had steered more than 600 teens toward pursuing careers in STEM and education. Aisha Bao. She's a technologist. Bao is a former NASA aerospace engineer and the CEO and co-founder of STEM Board. Its mission is to create software solutions for both government and private entities. She is also devoted to closing the achievement gap through various business ventures and partnerships within communities of color. Shanda Prescott Weinstein. She's an astrophysicist. Theoretical particle physics and astrophysics are Prescott Weinstein's specialties. She prides herself on not only solving complex problems involving or revolving around the particle cosmos, like dark matter and quantum gravity, but also bringing them to the forefront. Prescott Weinstein is a mentor, and through her articles for various online news outlets, an outspoken voice in the areas of science and race. Nola Hilton, she's a radiologist. The cancer research veteran was involved in the early development of MRI technology and its application to breast cancer detection. Hilton is one of the first scholars to be named to Susan G. Komen's Scientific Advisory Board. You can also find her advising and educating students at the University of California, San Francisco. So again, these ladies are the 15 women who are paying it forward through STEM's New Guard. Hashtag Taking the Lead is a year-long series celebrating the unsung women making strides in their respective industries. And these, again, were the 15 that Essence has, that's in this Essence edition. And then final for today, our final column that we're going to review is Patrick's Picks. And I don't know if you've heard of Tiffany Haddish, which is a comedian. She has a book out called The Last Black Unicorn. And that book is where we're treated to rarely seen side of the irrepressible cut up. As a young kid, it didn't feel like nobody cared about me or protected me, except for my grandma, she writes, unless they was getting paid, unless it was making them look good in some kind of way. Me just being myself was never good enough for anyone to love. All of that has changed now. And that book is priced at $26. And then there is a book called Love and Happiness with an American Marriage. And this is the author. Her name is Tayari Jones. This is her fourth novel. And Jones has emerged as one of the most important voices of her generation. This timely story zeroes in on Celestial and Roy, a happy couple whose love and loyalty are tested when the husband is arrested and both are swept into the criminal justice system with surprising results. And it looks like that we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. We hope that you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after our broadcast at our website, Triangle Radio Reading Service. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.